Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle,
Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake Moore, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast presented by Amesburg Chevrolet Buick GMC. The Wind City Sports Podcast features interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more every Monday, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or directly on our podcast page. Be sure to check us out on social media at WindCity_sports. Again, my name is Drake Moore, your host every week for the Wind City Sports Podcast. And today is episode 228 of Wind City Sports, and it is Monday, October 11th, 2021, Thanksgiving Monday here in Canada. So happy Turkey Day to everyone. Hope everyone is enjoying with their families or just relaxing, or if you're working, hopefully making some good coin. Last week was our first episode back after our brief hiatus, and last episode being in August, an impromptu episode. Prior to that, we were pretty much on hiatus since June, and if you haven't listened to the last episode with Mark Savard and Perry Wilson of the Windsor Spitfires, I just kind of explained what was going on and explained that we're back now every Monday for weekly podcasts like we did for over 4 years, 200 episodes every week for pretty much for over 4 years, stemming from the radio show, the Wind City Sports radio show, evolved into the podcast. Until eventually we went bi-weekly and then pretty much stopped. But we figured we're going to give it another shot, at least for this next year and hockey season, sports season, since everything is back. I actually have a lot to talk about. And man, have our Windsor teams been absolutely killing it. The Spitfires started off splitting a pair of games with the Sarnia Sting in their regular season. But we got to talk about the St. Clair Fratmen. Yeah, now the St. Clair Fratmen. Fratmen killing it as always, but absolutely just blowing teams out of the water. Lancers football is on a winning streak. Lots of things going on in Windsor for sports. And back to our Wind City ways. So we're going to talk about that throughout the show today. And of course, we're going to start off talking with our Windsor Spitfires as we normally do, and especially because of our guest this week and longtime assistant coach for the Windsor Spitfires, a man who should have been on the show a long time ago, Jared Smith. He's got a great story, and you're going to learn some stuff about him that you probably didn't know that I wasn't even too sure, as you'll hear in the interview, some about his playing days and some crazy stories that he has. And actually, as this podcast drops this morning, Monday morning, we have a game this afternoon, too, second home game. I'm going to try to make it to the WFCU Center, where the Spitfires are taking on the London Knights at 2 p.m. So I got some afternoon Thanksgiving action down at the old arena, back in action, and pretty sure they're set to go full capacity now, with the NHL and NBA being able to do so as well. I'm pretty sure they announced the OHL might be a start date, but they're back to full capacity, obviously, with fully vaccinated people. We've got to talk about our Windsor Spitfires. They started off kind of blowing it at home in a big 6-3 loss for their first game at home, first regular season game, first Thursday night game in over 500 days since March of 2020. Packing in a good crowd for their annual home and home with the Sarnia Sting. That was last Thursday, and then previous Friday night they went back to Sarnia and ended up beating them in overtime 3-2. After trailing 2-0 into the second period. Andy Delmore's old stopping grounds as well, another new assistant coach for the Windsor Spitfires. Again, we're going to talk to Jared Smith pretty soon, too. We're going to get that interview coming up very soon. New additions to the team. Again, we talked about last week with Mark Savard, and Perry Wilson. We have interviews with every Windsor Spitfire coach ready to go for this, pretty much this month of Wind City Sports. And again, new coaching staff, new team, over a year and a half off, feeling it out. And even though that's all being said, the Spits are ranked, I think, eighth overall in the CHL overall ranking. So between three leagues and probably 60 teams sitting ranked in the power rankings at eighth, could be a huge contender. And not even, I think, maybe like second or third in the whole OHL. So again, just kind of preseason predictions, hard to predict, something I talk about with all the coaches, but everyone will say and explain how well they're clicking and how they're feeling, as you'll hear exclusively here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. So after kind of starting off the series, or the season better yet, 1-1, the Spitfires are set to welcome in their rival today to the WFCU Center, 2 p.m. If you're listening to this bright and early on Monday morning, thank you, because you must be a huge Wind City sports fan. And you know, if you didn't know, Windsor Spitfire game this afternoon. Again, the Fratmen absolutely killing it. They just had a game. I think they're sitting at the top of their division or league, better yet. They've improved their record to 5-0 on Saturday after defeating the Skyhawks 60-13. After three quarters, it was 60-0. How are these guys always so good? I got to get Mike Lachance or someone from the team on the show so we can talk about the Fratmen and how, you know, how great they've been for years in the system and all that stuff. I talked to Glenn Mills about the Essex Ravens to, you know, kind of document that history of that organization. Not enough Fratmen talk lately on the Wind City Sports podcast, so I'd love to do that. Now, of course, with a 5-0 record, they're sitting at the top of their division and their standings, just above Hamilton. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Fratmen, maybe some upcoming games that they have as well. But, of course, our Lancers, I don't know if we talked much about the Lancers football team, at least last week. They had their first game in over 2 years at Windsor Stadium a few weeks back. They actually started off in Waterloo with a loss to the Warriors, but since coming home, they're 2-0 at home. They beat the Guelph Griffins in their first game again at home in 2 years last Saturday. And then this past Saturday, knocking off the number 5 ranked McMaster Martyrs in overtime with a 27-24 win. Huge stuff for the Windsor Lancers football team. And next up, they got the Western Mustangs in London this upcoming Saturday. We'll have to talk about all the other returning sports for the Lancers this week, including basketball today as we speak, recording on Sunday. The baseball team is back and maybe in a different division too. I'm going to look into that. They were playing in a NCAA Division II, I believe, league in the past, and they're actually playing Waterloo today. So doing some OUA action for our baseball team. Again, lots to talk about, man. So much is happening so fast all of a sudden. One reason, as if you heard last week, one reason we slowed down on the Wind City Sports podcast was just nothing really going on. And now all of a sudden, things are just shaping up. So it's looking good. One thing I forgot to mention in the last podcast, but it doesn't really matter now if you listen to the one with Mark Savard. The first and only time, well, maybe not the first, but the only time in this run, this new run of Wind City Sports where I've had some technical difficulties, so it froze up on us a couple times, but love to have Mark back and just talk some more OHL stories, maybe, and some golf stories, some stuff they didn't get to talk about too much. But again, if you didn't listen to last week, check him out, brand new head coach of our Windsor Spitfires, NHL, former NHLer, all-star, Mark Savard, and also joining that episode is a returning guest, and longtime local goalie coach and the Windsor Spitfires goaltending coach and Lancers goaltending coach, Perry Wilson. But without further ado, we got to get into our interview for this week. A guy that, again, should have been on the show a long time ago. Great story from a pretty much local guy. I mean, he's not born here in Windsor, as you'll hear his story, his OHL path and career, you'll hear all about. But again, this guy has been with the Spits for like 10 years, and he's one of our coaches, one of Windsor's coaches. Arguably could have been or should have been the head coach, but something for interpretation, I suppose. And you got to hear kind of his side of the, maybe not his side of the story. I don't really, you know, get into that a lot, but we talk about the new coaching staff with him and lots of other things. Great stories coming up in this episode and this podcast, which is actually brought to you by Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC,
located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Now offering the Fall into Savings event with 0% financing for up to 84 months. For all you Chevy guys and girls out there, this is the best dealer with the best service, best prices, and this offer also includes the new 2020 Chevrolet Camaro. Again, the Fall into Savings event at Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC in Aberg, located on Sandwich Street South. Also check out AmherstburgGMC.com for more information. And if you go down there, tell Scott the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you.
Where all the beauties get their vehicles. All right, without further ado, let's jump into that interview with longtime Windsor Spitfires assistant coach, Jared Smith. Here we go. So I'm now joined by a longtime Windsor Spitfires coach. Little known to some are his playing days for the Toronto St. Michael's Majors. He's a Burlington native and also played for the Burlington Cougars. Welcome to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Jared Smith, assistant coach of the Windsor Spitfires.
Thanks for having me, Drake.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I said, longtime comment. So it's going to be cool to get to know you a little bit through this interview and, you know, just have some fun, like we said. So seems like you were born and raised in Burlington. Came up through the hockey ranks up there. So what was life growing up out there? Like, obviously I'm assuming a big hockey kid, growing up.
Yeah. Originally, obviously from Burlington, played on some really good minor hockey teams growing up, won a couple OMHA championships, in our minor Bantam, major Bantam years, and 11 guys drafted the OHL off that major Bantam team. So obviously that, you know, a lot of talent on those teams and, a great bunch of kids, great bunch of guys that obviously I remained close with. I was a multi-sport athlete, so I played AAA baseball my whole life too. So I kind of got to the point where I kind of had to decide which, you know, sport I was going to pursue. And at the time it was hockey, but I still managed to play, you know, high school baseball as I continued to play some junior hockey as well. So, but yeah, it's a great place to grow up, great city.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's cool, man. I always ask people if they had, like, you know, a time in their life where they had to make that decision to go to one thing or the other. Was it just like, you know, maybe I got some more potential in hockey than baseball, or was it just I'm a bigger hockey fan?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I mean, I don't know. I liked them both. Like, I didn't really, it was really tough for me. Obviously, I didn't think I was, you know, going to pursue a Major League Baseball career by any means. At the time the decision was made, you know, maybe there's more of an opportunity for me to play hockey and to play in the Ontario Hockey League. And, you know, I was able to do that. I had a great experience at St. Mike's, played there for a year. And not only that, obviously bounced around a little bit and played junior B in Brantford and tier two in Burlington. And then I went out east and played junior B out east. And so I've had my fair share of, you know, viewings in different leagues across the country, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of playing the game, you know, especially even just in Canada alone. Like you said, growing up in Burlington, great place to grow up and, you know, close to the GTA. So obviously a huge hockey community, like you said, guys drafted out of your team. I mean, I can only imagine how many are drafted out of your geographical area too, right? Just a huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was, you know, I grew up playing against, you know, guys like Rick Nash, Dan Girardi, Daniel Paille, just some of those names that were, you know, basically in our league, in our OMHA league that we got to see, you know, quite often growing up.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of those names. So it's the cool things to talk to people like yourselves and any player really to go back to those days. And it's like, look at all the people. The names that people will recognize that were just little kids playing minor, you know?
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. So, you know, like you said, you kind of came up through the AAA ranks out there and I'm assuming drafted to St. Mike. So kind of take me through your journey into the OHL. I mean, going back to those days.
Yeah. So I was a fifth round pick to the O. I was a good student too. So there was a decision there that was pretty tough for me to make on what to do, whether to pursue, you know, the fast track to pro hockey or to maybe go to school. And my dad's a Toronto guy, grew up in Toronto, obviously, the history, the rich history of St. Mike's. I think that kind of played a factor into the family decision on, hey, this is a great opportunity to play in the OHL. Not only that, but to go to St. Mike's, a prestigious private school, have that paid for and get that, you know, obviously great education from St. Mike's. I was originally drafted by Mark Osborne, who was head coach GM at the time that I was drafted. And 2 weeks before the season, he resigned. And I had already signed and Dave Cameron got the job. So Dave came in and obviously didn't know the draft class very well at all. We had a really good team that year. We won a couple playoff rounds, a lot of veteran guys. You know, at the start of the year, I was kind of like in and out of the lineup. but there was a chunk of the year where I was playing some good minutes, like third line center minutes with some older players. And at the deadline, obviously there was an opportunity there for us to add some players, which, you know, hurt my ice time. And, you know, I was kind of in and out of the lineup, you know, quite a bit, which was tough, no doubt. The following year, going into the season, went to training camp, and it was still at the time where guys from the East Coast could be drafted or invited to Ontario League camps. And we had Dave Cameron, being an East Coast guy, brought in a few guys that he was familiar with from the East Coast. And I guess kind of the writing was on the wall for me to play a similar role that I did the year before. And I wasn't, I don't know. I just didn't like that feeling, and I ended up making the decision to go back home and to play. I wanted to play hockey. Like, I just wanted to enjoy the game again and grow my game. And so I made the decision to go home and play rather than, you know, be, I guess, you know, 14th, 15th kind of in and out guy, right? So that was difficult, no doubt. It was difficult because I obviously gave up my eligibility and thought I was, you know, hopefully going to have a good career in the OHL. And, you know, no regrets though. Like, it was a great experience. Played with some great, great guys, great teammates. Learned a lot. Obviously there's some things I wish I would have done more or better, no doubt. But I got to go back home and, you know, I was the last year for OAC, right, in high school. So got to go back home and play tier two and finish my high school, my hometown. So that was my experience really in the OHL. A player.
Well, a different time obviously as well. I mean, for the game of hockey and for yourself. I mean, a lot of people forget, like, we're watching, you know, the Spitfires, and they're just kids really. I mean, it's tough to make a decision like that, for the future for yourself. I mean, at that time, right? Like, and obviously you made the decision based on what would be best for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, like, the just, you know, being in an OHL training camp and, you know, getting all the gear and being around like the older players, some guys drafted, and getting that experience. And it was close to home too. So, and I think obviously the, you know, the idea of being able to play at St. Mike's and go to the school, that was certainly something that kind of pulled us in.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention that too. I mean, close to home, you didn't have to leave, which is a big thing too, at that age, you know, leaving home. So you didn't have to go too far, and it was probably kind of like the hometown team for you.
Yeah. Like, I billeted there, but it was, you know, it's 45 minutes away. So my exactly. family were able to come down and watch us, and then, you know, and whenever it wasn't far for them at all. So that was certainly something that played a factor.
Yeah, probably something you did even before, you know, playing there, just going to games, right? Like,
St. Mike's Arena. You know, you remember that small barn, right?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, a lot of history there. Really small rink. You know, tough rink to play in for sure. It was a really good experience for me.
Yeah, for sure. And like you talked about, kind of getting in and out of the lineup, and due to, you know, adding players and stuff like that. But the thing is, it was a good team. So nonetheless, yeah. I mean, good record, good players. I mean, Peter Buda, I'm going down the list here, just a few you can name, like Dave Bootlin, Tim Brandt. I know a lot of these guys because they played for Toronto too, or like, you know, Darryl Boyce had like a stint in there. So I'm just going down the list like, oh, this guy.
Yeah. Kevin Klein.
Yeah.
Buda, Andy Kyoto. Yeah. We had a Mark Popovic. We had a really good team. Yeah, for sure.
You keep in touch with a lot of people from junior too. I'm sure even at, with the Burlington teams, just being local too, right?
Yeah. The guys, you know, the guys I played tier with, there's probably four or five of them that we grew up playing AAA together. So we remain close. And, you know, there's a couple of guys, you know, that I they still keep in touch with from St. Mike's as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's I like I talk about with everyone. It's your days of high school and then a little bit after. So they always say those are the most memorable times of your life, and it's pretty true when you look back at it and can still remember those days and all the people that you kept in touch with. And it's cool for people like me and people listening to know that you played with these guys, or, you know, we're buddies and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure, man. Yeah, for sure.
Privileged life, you know. So let's get to like that end of junior, I suppose. Like you said, you went home. And then after that year, what was the mentality? Were you looking to go to school or stay in the game at all, or what happened there?
Yeah, I think at that point, I just wanted to get that feeling of enjoying the game again and having fun, right? At the end of the day, it's a kid's game. And at the time, really, I wasn't enjoying it so much. And I wanted to get that, or see if I could get that feeling back, really. And I did. I did playing in Burlington. And then I actually had the opportunity to play in Windsor, at the University of Windsor. And I chose not to. I chose to go out east. And I went to Acadia. And I did my undergrad degree there in recreation management. They had a really, really good hockey team there. And, again, it was kind of a situation like if I really think I'm going to play here, I'm probably going to be the same thing, like in and out. And there was they have a great junior B loop there. I played junior B in Windsor, Nova Scotia, which was, 25 minutes away from Wolfville. And to be honest with you, it's probably some of the best years I've ever had playing hockey. Riding a school bus with just a great bunch of guys, obviously guys that were new teammates to me. There was three of us from Ontario that ended up playing junior B together on that team, guys that I went there with, two of my best friends. And so we played there, traveled to games together, lived together, and played with just a great bunch of guys. And it was good hockey. We got to see the province, so that was kind of fun, like traveling through the province and getting to see it, because obviously we were pretty unfamiliar with it. But it was just a special time, balancing the university life and junior B life, and having fun, really. That's kind of at the end of the day, it was about having fun again, playing the game. And like I said, it was some of the best years I've had in my life playing hockey, for sure.
Oh yeah. It's always good to have some buddies from back home with you too, so you're not too not too fresh to the pack.
Yeah. So two guys that I played tier two with in Burlington ended up going with me to school out there. And we got that to experience that together. So that was pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Play in the birthplace of hockey, Windsor, Nova Scotia.
That's right, man. That's right. It is a great barn, freezing cold. We probably got close to 1,000 fans some nights. It was a tough league. It was good though. Like, guys that, you can play as a 21-year-old there too. So if you play as a 20-year-old, you can play as a 21-year-old. So I was able to do that, so I got basically an extra year junior out of it,
Yeah.
So that was, and our coaches were awesome. Just great guys, devoted their time and to us, and taught us a lot, and great mentors as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you're seeing that too on the other end, as we will get into coaching soon. You were like these kids, like yourself, traveling somewhere else, and probably seeing yourself in some of these kids nowadays too. So you probably think back to your old coaches and think like, damn, they had to put up with me and shit like that, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, obviously I played for a lot of coaches and tried to pick up, I guess, a little bit from everybody, when I knew I was going to, try and make coaching a career, looking back on the different, the guys I played for and what kind of stood out for me, what I thought was effective or ineffective, and, the types of relationships they were able to build and how that basically all tied into creating like a winning environment. So, and that's obviously, as a coach, our greatest challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, well, you've came over that challenge a few times. We'll get into it, actually. You've been with the Spits for a long time, but before we actually jump to that, I have two questions that I'm not even sure if we're going to skip over this or not. I mean, I do all my research on the internet, and I like to learn right from the horse's mouth. Now, we have 2 years here of you playing in Australia and Germany. Is that you, or is that a different
year? That's me, Matt. That's me, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because
You brought that up.
Yeah, I couldn't find much on it. I mean, I was like, I got to listen to, you did the Hat Trick Hockey podcast, and I was shocked that they didn't bring it up. So, I mean, let's get in. I wasn't sure if it was like a mistake on the website or something, So there's like a year in between, and then you go there, but that's probably when you were playing at Acadia, right?
Yeah. So are you, you've heard of the Australian Pro League before? I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. A bit. Yeah. I mean, just from, yeah, a lot of guys from around here have been out there. So.
Yeah. So I had a buddy who played in the league, and obviously their winter time is our summertime, right? The season's kind of flipped for them. So, it was all on my own. I ended up emailing. So this was in between my third and fourth year, if I recall correctly, of university. I wanted to continue playing, and I thought I was actually developing even more. I actually made the switch. I started playing defense. Okay. I started playing defense in Nova Scotia, and I was like, damn, like, probably should have been a defenseman my whole life kind of thing. I got that feeling, and I loved playing the position, and I wanted to continue playing if I could, right? So I started reaching out to teams in the Australian Pro League because I knew, I had a buddy went over there and had a great experience, and I knew that, you know, I was able to do this. I was able, if I were to hook onto a team, I could go after I wrote my last exam. I could play there and come back and start my fourth year university, right? So I remember sending an email to probably every team over there, and the West Sydney Ice Dogs kind of, they were obviously the ones corresponding the most with me, and ended up offering me a spot without obviously seeing me play, just my very average junior resume, really. Offered me a spot, paid for my flight, paid for my accommodations and car. So after my last exam, I remember going home, and I flew out of Toronto like two days later. Obviously without knowing anybody, I got picked up at the airport, got taken. Here's me thinking I'm like going to play on a beach and like, you know, go to practice and surf and like lie on the beach and enjoy that kind of life. I was pretty wrong about that. Like, I was in a suburb of Sydney, and like, believe me, like, it was awesome, but like, it's not what I really thought I was getting into. It was a suburb of Sydney. Pretty rough area, to be honest. I lived with two American guys, great guys. One guy was from Utah, one guy was from Minnesota. So we were, I think you're allowed five imports. So we were three of the five. Long story short, in like I think I played four games, I blew my shoulder out. Like, I remember, I've never been hit so hard in my life. I remember hooking the net as a D-man. I made a pass, I popped my head up, and this guy was just like, I didn't see him, and he smoked me, and he got all my shoulder. And like, I just remember like spinning in the air and like landing on the ice. And like, I've never obviously been hurt like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And my shoulder's out. Like, it's my shoulder's right out. And I can remember being in the trainer's room, they're trying to like pop my shoulder in. I'm like, guys, like, this isn't working, right? So we go to the hospital, and I didn't have my travel insurance on me at the time. And I remember some of the Aussie boys were like, oh, don't worry, like, we'll just get you in under like one of our names. I'm like, what? Like, you guys, like, are you guys serious? And sure enough, like, they tried to get me into the hospital under like a false ID. And I was like, guys, I had the nurse administrator, whoever she was at the hospital, starting to ask me questions. Like, I don't have an Australian act. Like, I speak like that. So right away, I'm like, hey, hang on. Like, this is not going to work, guys. So she kind of laughed it off. And like, I told her, like, listen, I do have my travel insurance. It's not on me. This is what happened. So I saw a doctor right away, told me it was like separate, like a third degree separation. You're going to be out, you know, maybe a month. I was like, oh, okay. Like, no big deal. Like, I'll rehab it. Their team was obviously going to help me out with the rehab. I was like, no big deal. Like, you know, you had to play a certain number of games to play in the playoffs. So you had to, I think it was like a 28 game season. You had to play at least like 14 games, like half the schedule. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I was trying to map it out. Like, I think I can get that in, right? If I'm only going to be out a month. Turns out, like, honestly, man, it got worse. Like, my shoulder, like, I could barely lift like a soup can, like, after like 3 weeks over my shoulder. And I was like, this isn't right. Like, there's more to it. Like, this injury, basically I didn't get, you know, great medical attention, more or less. And, I remember it got to the point where I wasn't going to be able to play that number of games to get in the playoffs, but I was like, I'm not flying home. I'm going to soak this in and enjoy my experience here. being around the guys and enjoying obviously new surroundings and living abroad. So I stayed until like close to the playoffs, and I went home, and when I got home, I saw a surgeon in Hamilton right away. And he's like, yeah, like this should have been operated on like right away. Mm-hmm. And I never got the surgery because he's like, at this point, after like 2.5-3 months, it's begun to heal on its own. And I don't want to do the surgery. And I was like, yeah, all good. And to be honest, it's given me no issues like ever since. Like it's fine. But I got hurt basically is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you always hear the crazy Russian stories, but not so many of the crazy Australia stories, man.
Honestly, it was kind of outrageous that whole night, but pretty funny to look back on it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, at least you got some story out of it.
For sure.
I mean, it looks like so you were like kind of naturally able to recover because, I mean, you eventually went back to Germany, right?
Yeah, so, and then I graduated, and again, I had a buddy who played. I want to say they call it the fourth league. Like it's obviously not a great league. Like I was going over there again for the experience and the fact that they were going to pay for my accommodations and, give us a car and whatnot. And you make a little bit of money, but it's just spending money, right? More or less. So that was another really interesting experience. We were in a town, Adendorf, which is north of Hamburg. Like not a lick of English there, really. Very, very German. So that was difficult, trying to just get by day to day, with the language barrier. And I was there for like 2 or 3 weeks by myself before the other Canadian guy came over. And he spoke some German, so that kind of helped when he got there. But as you know, like over there with those leagues, like it's like soccer, right? Like if you don't finish in the top three or top two of the league, you don't get the promotion to the league above. And it's another hilarious story. Yeah. I was there till Christmas. So at Christmas time, like we were middle of the pack to like, basically we weren't going to be promoted to the next league. And I remember getting that. We got like literally a freaking piece of paper slipped under our door, like our apartment, like basically telling us like we're not paying you guys anymore, like that's enough, like this is not what we thought we were getting ourselves into, like bye bye kind of thing. And so we were like, what the hell am I gonna, like I was like, what the hell am I gonna do now, right? Like so they basically, the team folded more or less, and I stayed for another week or so, and then I ended up, because it was around Christmas time, I was like, okay, I might as well go home for Christmas at this point, right? So, that was another interesting hockey experience abroad for sure.
We need a documentary on that team now.
Oh man, yeah, yeah. I got a sweet jersey. I still have my jersey. It's like, it's like the jersey you think you'd be, like all logoed up.
Yeah, say all the
advertisements. So yeah, that was. Interesting, man.
Yeah. Well, hey man, nonetheless you get to some good stories, of course.
For sure Germany was awesome. Like the place we were, like I said, it was super, very German, but the architecture I just remember was awesome, like kind of old stone road and like villages, and it was super clean and people were really friendly despite the language barrier, but it was a great experience for sure.
Yeah. Again, like I talked to with a lot of people, nonetheless, how far they went in hockey, you get to do stuff like that through a game, through a sport that we've all loved.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And then from there, that's it. I mean, obviously you decided to just kind of step away from playing, and I'm assuming we'll get into that. And you graduated and then coaching. So kind of how does that all unfold for you?
Yeah, so when I finished in Germany, I came back. I ended up choosing to do my master's degree in sports admin at Canisius. So I got into that program. I lived at home and I commuted. So I was in Buffalo basically 3 days a week, living at my parents. I think I was like 24 at the time. And I had to do an internship with my program, my master's degree. So there's a private school called Nichols College in Buffalo, and it's a really good school, good hockey program traditionally. But hey, why don't I try and link into this school and you know, maybe help coach the team, and that can be my internship. And I got to go ahead to do that, and they hired me. So I helped. That was my first, like, get my feet wet in coaching, was, you know, coaching the junior varsity team there. So it was mostly grade nines and tens. And, you know, some of those kids would go on to play, obviously, for the senior team. And you know, I would say, like, you know, 3-4 guys out of those programs are getting D1 scholarships. So that's good hockey. As you know, like, American prep hockey is a little, I guess, more advanced than it is here in Canada. And so that was my first real experience coaching, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, when you look it up, it's just strictly Spitfire stuff on your resume. So all the stuff I'm learning, right? So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the way I like to do it. And that's why I was like, I'm just going to ask them if you played in Germany. If you didn't, then we'll move on. But that's exactly where it leads us to Windsor, right? So I'm assuming you just apply for a job with Windsor, or did you?
Bob Jones is a relative of mine. So that was my connection here. They needed a video guy. Bob Bugner came back from the NHL that year, and he wanted a full-time video guy, and I applied and came down, and Warren and Bob interviewed me and you know, gave me the job as a full-time video guy here. And so I worked that my first year. Bob, DJ, Dave Matsos, Bob Jones, and obviously Warren was the GM. So I worked under those guys. I did that for 2 years. And then Dave Matsos left, took a job in Sudbury. And I got a call the next day from Bob and Warren, basically saying, we want to promote you to assistant coach. So that's how that happened with me getting behind the bench here, really. Mm. So.
Yeah, it just worked out, I guess. That's what I was going to ask, if, you know, obviously opportunity came up and it just fell right into place. I mean, making that jump at the time, I mean, again, from video coach to assistant coach, given your experience, was probably like a huge, like, honor to you for them to reach out.
Yeah, I remember getting the call. I was golfing with my buddies back home in Burlington. I got the call, and I was like, obviously right away, it was an immediate yes. And they gave me a 3-year contract. And, you know, I think, you know, with my education and, you know, when I first took the video job, and I still do have aspirations to get into the management side a little bit. And obviously, you know, Windsor did give me the title of director of player personnel this year, which I'm grateful for. And that's going to, you know, I certainly want to learn as much as I can on the management side. And I'm looking forward to doing that. So that's how I didn't really know if I wanted to make a career out of coaching at the time. And it happened pretty quick, right? And obviously, you know, starting to coach and working with great people and seeing kids develop, and not only in hockey, but seeing them go on and do other things in life, you know, trying to develop them not only as players, but as just good young men, right? And, you know, teaching them discipline and values and you know, that's something obviously as coaches we take pride in. So so it's obviously worked out really well for me. I absolutely love Windsor, love the city. Met my wife here. She's a Tecumseh girl. We have two little boys. I absolutely love the city, love the people, love the community. We live in Riverside, and it's been really good to me.
That's awesome, man. So that's the stuff we like to hear on One City Sports. It's about the city as well. And we were going to talk about that as well. I mean, Riverside guy, where's your go-to pizza place? If you love some Windsor.
Oh, I'm a Naples guy.
Oh yeah, me too. I got Naples right down the road here, so it's hard not to, you know.
Yeah, but it's the Windsor pizza topic. It's great because it's unbelievable. Like, it's the best pizza I think in the world. And you know, my buddies from home have caught on too, like, because I pump it up all the time, and when they come down to visit and they get a little taste of it, it's like, wow, I think you're right. Right. So, that's another great part of the city is the pizza, right?
Of course, man. That's the thing I always like to talk about, especially people who move out of Windsor, but like, how much do you miss it? And the people that come here, it's like, tell me that it's the best. Tell me it's not, you know.
my brother-in-law is, he's in Barrie now. And actually my in-laws just are up to visit. Every time they go to visit, they bring them a pie.
I was telling my mom sent someone a frozen pizza to Calgary. on a plane. Awesome. So that's how bad they want it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and talking about Windsor, of course, it's cool to hear that, you know, now you're kind of like a Windsor guy. Again, kind of like a homegrown Windsor Spitfire coach coming through the ranks. And, you know, we're excited to get the season started, man. I'm sure you are, too. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Obviously, last year was really tough. You know, the people you feel the worst for are the players, no doubt.
Yeah.
What they, you know, had to endure and the season they lost last year in their development. You know, that was, you know, obviously a terrible situation. And our team would have been really good last year, no doubt. But I'd like to say the exact same thing about our team this year, really. We got a great group of kids. Good mix of older players and our younger players are certainly showing that they belong. So I think the fans, you know, have a lot to look forward to this season with our team. And we're really excited. There's a great atmosphere around the team. The environment's awesome. We're trying to build something special here. Let's just hope that, you know, we can get some noise in this building, right, sooner or later. So hopefully that comes soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's just around the corner, and you know, I'm not sure I actually even really announced like if we're going to be allowed to go or not, but I'm sure as soon as those doors are open, people are going to be eager and ready to go, just like everyone else, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, it's been a tough year, and every year there's always changes within the team, staff and stuff like that, and you know, a little shifting around this year with Trevor leaving and stuff. So so you must have got extended another year or two, and now you're player personnel director. So
yeah,
any changes there for you, or is it just kind of
like there will be some changes to my day-to-day stuff. You know, it's something I'm really looking forward to learning more on, you know, more about the management side, and I'm grateful for the opportunity they gave me. You know, I'm going to be helping Bill and Frank out as much as I can with personnel decisions and, you know, our prospects, their development, checking in with them, you know, learning more about the, you know, the league bulletins that come across, and, you know, how to communicate that with our players. So it's something I'm looking forward to. Obviously, as a coach, you know, or you know, during the season, it is busy for us. But you know, I look forward to the challenge of managing my time between both positions.
It's cool, man. It's cool to hear, given your story and everything that you've talked about. So it's cool to see where you might go in the future as well. And we're about less than 10 minutes to practice, so we'll get you out there in a minute. But to wrap it up, I mean, it's a pandemic year. I'm sure there's been a lot of challenges to kind of overcome in the last couple of months, just getting back into things. So, and I'm sure you guys are working through that as well right now. So has there been any challenges for you as a coach or the team?
No, like it was good to get, you know, a few real games in last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Like I obviously hadn't stood behind a bench in what, 18 months or whatever it was. I'll never forget the day where, you know, we're getting ready to play Saginaw when the pandemic hit and everything was shut down after that NBA player tested positive. I remember coming in and telling Trevor, I'm like, man, it's over. I guess it's over. He's like, what are you talking? I'm like, we're going to get shut down for sure.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like later on that afternoon, we're prepping for the game. And I remember Billy coming in saying, yeah, there's no game tonight. And what we thought was going to be 2 or 3 weeks turned into 18, 19 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the challenge for us was trying to keep our players engaged last year and holding out hope to playing. And obviously not happening was pretty crushing to the guys, no doubt. The guys that lost that last year, junior, they'll never get back. So that was the hardest part for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And now we're back to it, and everyone's just happy to be back. It seems like, you know, like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's, you know, new staff, the players obviously are ecstatic to be out here, to be together, to be on the ice. We're having a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of teaching, obviously, with, you know, new players, new systems. You know, it should be a fun place to come, right? That's our job as coaches, to make this place you know, to make it exciting to come to the rink every day. And I think we take a lot of pride in that. So let's hope we have a great season here in Windsor.
Absolutely. Lots of Spitfires there for you. Absolutely. So again, we're looking forward to the season. Thanks for taking the time to do this, man. Really appreciate it.
Okay, man. Drake, thanks so much for having me, buddy. Appreciate it.
Huge thanks to Jared Smith. What a beauty that guy is. Come on, tell some stories and, you know, just shoot off the hip. Just shoot the shit with the kid, Drake, and have a good time here. And, you know, that's what it's all about. That's what I always say on the show. And that's what this show is all about, is conversations like that with Jared Smith, with a former hockey player, a coach, a guy living in Windsor Pizza, talk about stuff like that. You know, again, one of my favorites, Naples, just down the road from me. Interesting to see, you know, who orders from where and what. I gotta start asking, you know, what's your go-to toppings, but like everyone knows it's just the super, the Windsor classic, some pepperoni, green peppers and mushrooms, canned mushrooms too, and galati cheese. Everyone knows that. Anyway, that's a little off topic, but not really. I love pizza. So anyway, thanks again, Jared Smith. Today as I'm talking, or as you're listening, better yet, Monday, Thanksgiving Monday, they have a game against the London Knights. So I'm going to try and catch that depending on when my dinner is. If you're around, say hi, say what up. And I'll try and start bringing some cards and stickers once they arrive. And then hopefully in the future, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be getting some merch going and get the old white tees back and with the special design, and then the black tees with the logo in the corner. I'm trying to make them affordable, and every time you purchase one, throw in a sticker. So that's your incentive to buy. I suppose if you want to support the Wind City Sports podcast, feel free to reach out for a donation. If you're looking at a sponsor as well, we'll have room for some more sponsors we've been looking for. Starting to have fun doing this thing again, and want to keep it going. So, you know, supporting the show will help improve the quality, help improve the views, help us get some merch and some stuff out there to spread the word of Wind City Sports around the world, around the country, everywhere. I'm going to be sending out some shirts to past guests as well, as I've done before. Never really sold shirts before, except for like the BB branded ones. But I've made some and sent them out to some guests, and a lot of people liked them. So I still have a couple left, actually. I think of the old, 2 years ago, we did a special design with the Wind City Sports podcast. And again, we'll be doing some more and some more interviews, hopefully, too. Every once in a while, busy doing a ton of interviews in a week, but this week will be a little busy for me. Nevertheless, there's always stuff to talk about, even though, as I mentioned before, we kind of slowed down the podcast because not a lot of sports were going on. I would always find something, and then, you know, we get caught up, or I keep you caught up with some of our Windsorites, some of our teams and stuff. And we were talking about the Fratmen, we were talking about the Lancers, and this week a lot of returning sports for the Lancers as well. Always check out golancers.ca for information on all Lancer sports. And again, if you're not really familiar with it, very underrated sports in all aspects of the games, you know, all different kinds of sports. So we actually have a double header as I'm speaking today for the men's baseball team. They're playing, Western on Sunday, and then the OUA regional final in Kitchener as well. Not sure how that works, but that's what I'm reading here on their schedule. And this looks like it's just a one-off little mini tournament for the OUA, you know, Western, Windsor, Waterloo. And so it looks like actually they've made it to the final, and we're looking to see who they're going to play this afternoon. And then come March, they're going to be back into their regular NCBA division, better yet, taking on the University of Michigan, the baseball team. If you guys aren't familiar, the men's baseball team at the University of Windsor, I've had a few guys on it before. They are a very high level baseball team. They play out at the Libro Center in Amherstburg at the Diamonds there. And they have, again, they normally have teams from Michigan coming here and there, and Iowa, Ohio, all kinds of American teams. So when I talk to, you know, baseball players on the show or just in Windsor, there's always that kind of stigma of Canadian baseball, and better yet, even of American baseball, how big it is and how good it is and how giant the systems are over there. It's entirely true. So what I'm saying is, like, for a team like Windsor, Ontario, to match up with American teams is huge. And, you know, pretty much a lot, majority, if not all, Canadian born players on the team. So, and local guys too, coaching it too. If I think Frank Genet is still coaching it. But this week also sees the return of a lot of other OUA sports. You know, maybe a year and a half or 2 years since a lot of these teams have played, including our men's basketball team kicking things off tomorrow, Tuesday, October the 12th at 8 p.m. against Ontario Tech. The women's hockey team is starting up on Wednesday, and so is the men's hockey team. They got two games, actually, this week, maybe preseason action, both against Western Mustangs, usually a really good team. Men's basketball also taking on the York Lions. And then men's volleyball kicking off on Friday, I'm assuming, as well as the women. So again, always check out goalanswers.ca for lots of news on them. I'm always retweeting all that stuff on Wind City Sports Twitter as well. Just keeping people updated, and, you know, especially now with, like, things to do. Like, back in the day, that's what we used to do, is retweet these events and you know, promotional tweets, so that you knew what was going on in the city and, like, you know, what to do this weekend. Go catch a soccer game. Lancer Soccer is back as well. A football game, a baseball game, whatever you might want to do. And again, get you caught up with, you know, some news on our Windsorites, past guests. Our last kind of interview before we took a hiatus was with David Burney. He's on the Canada tour right now. Seems to be killing it. Get some news about him and videos from Windsor, local Windsor media outlet, Power Play Sports. Always doing great work as well. Always mention them. And before we begin to wrap it up, we'll do a quick local sports roundup via Jim Parker of Windsor Star. Again, we always talk about Windsor Lancer sports, but we also like to talk about our St. Clair Saints sports as well. The women's soccer team, they're doing all right, but they dropped a 3-0 decision to Fanshawe Falcons in London on Thursday, and a battle for the top spot of our West Division of the OCAA. And now that already has wrapped up our regular season for the Falcons. They jumped to an early lead and never really took it back. They finished 5-0-1, and the Saints 4-1-1. But next week, the Saints will host a crossover playoff division final between the two. We got some local high school players invited out to Team Canada tryouts for Baseball Canada. That's Amherstburg's Reese Kozar and LaSalle's Mateo Perry, both from Villanova High School. And speaking of baseball, we have a pretty huge induction coming up for another Windsorite, and John Upham. He's one of the four new inductees to the Baseball Ontario's Hall of Fame. He's an 80-year-old and was both an outfielder and pitcher in Major League Baseball before returning home to coach several amateur teams over the years. Congratulations to John on his induction to the Ontario Baseball Hall of Fame. But looks like that's it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're back now every week, so we'll be here to catch up with you and get you caught up with what you might have missed, and always bringing you some good interviews and chats with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more. As you heard Jared Smith today on the Wind City Sports Podcast, longtime Windsor Spitfires coach, and we got some more coaches coming up. We got some coaches and athletes coming up, maybe some people that you might not have heard of or didn't know was from Windsor, and it's gonna be fun to tell their stories here on the Wind City Sports Podcast, which is what we do. Check us out on all social media and our YouTube channel. Give us a subscribe on the YouTube channel. Always posting stuff and you know, previews and fun stuff I might find in my VCR or something, and making videos from our podcast as well. So check us out social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at WinCity_sports. Follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, and you can get the podcast on any podcast platform. We're very easy to find nowadays. WINCITY is all one word, Wind City Sports. If you put the space, I'm sure it'll still come up, but just not as easily. But again, just simple Google search, we'll be able to find all of our content from there, whatever platform you might use to listen to podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just some website like Listen Notes or Google Podcast, even. It's available everywhere. It's very easy to find. You can even say, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. And I hope that mine didn't hear me say that, because it's going to start going off in a second. But
Anyway, my name is Drake DeMore, and we're here every Monday with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Again, check us out online, support us, give us a like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends about Wind City Sports, share it on your platforms, your social medias. And if you have any suggestions for the show, feel free to reach out to any of our social medias or email is posted on there as well. So until next week, smell you later. This episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast was brought to you by Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC.
Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Now offering the Fall Into Savings event with 0% financing for up to 84 months. For all you Chevy guys and girls out there, this is the best dealer with the best service, best prices. And this offer also includes the new 2020 Chevrolet Camaro. Again, the Fall Into Savings event at Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC in Aberg, located on Sandwich Street South. Also check out AmherstburgGMC.com for more information. And if you go down there, tell Scott the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you.